This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Thanks for being with us today as we reckon with three officials from the campaign of President Donald Trump facing criminal charges from Robert Mueller's investigation into possible connections between the campaign and Russia.
Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort.
Paul Manafort and Rick Gates, Manafort's former business associate.
The charges were unsealed against Manafort and Gates.
Pleaded not guilty after being indicted today to charges that include
conspiracy and money laundering,
fraud, tax evasion,
conspiracy against the United States,
and failure to register as an agent of a foreign government.
Both are under house arrest tonight.
There is no evidence that Mr. Manafort or the Trump campaign colluded with the Russian government. This indictment is ridiculous.
Now, none of these charges, as far as we know, point directly toward collusion with Russia. But then there's George Papadopoulos, a young, little-known former foreign policy advisor to the Trump campaign.
George Papadopoulos, he's an oil and energy consultant, excellent guy.
Prosecutors say Papadopoulos was in contact with a professor with ties to the Kremlin as early as April 2016, and that Papadopoulos knew in the spring that the Russian government had, quote, dirt on Hillary Clinton in the form of thousands of her emails. It wasn't until late July of last year that those emails were released to the public by WikiLeaks. On July 27th of this year, the FBI arrested George Papadopoulos for lying about the professor. He pleaded guilty to that charge, and he's been cooperating with Robert Mueller's investigators ever since. We're going to get to the legal implications of that guilty plea, but first, who is George Papadopoulos?
I never heard of Papadopoulos. He never showed up at Trump Tower.
Now, I knew everybody in the Trump campaign. I never heard about Papadopoulos.
On Monday night, Mr. Trump's lawyer told CBS News that the president definitely doesn't have a clue who George Papadopoulos is.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders yesterday.
This individual was the member of a volunteer advisory council that met one time over the course of a year, and he was part of a list that was read out in the Washington Post. I'd hardly call that some sort of regular advisor, or as you want to, you know, push that he's like a senior member of the staff. He was not paid by the campaign. He was a volunteer on a council that met once.
That's the White House press secretary downplaying George Papadopoulos' role in the Trump campaign. And today, the president tweeted, "Few people knew the young, low-level volunteer named George, who's already been proven a liar." The president also said, "Check the Dems." Max Kuttner is here. Max is senior politics writer at Newsweek, where he leads coverage of the FBI, the Justice Department, and the Russia investigation. Max, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Well, what do we know about George Papadopoulos, his background, and just what was he doing for the Trump campaign?
The main thing to know about him, Todd, was just how young he was. He didn't have a lot of experience. When President Trump, as a candidate, first announced that he was on his national security and foreign policy team, that was kind of the narrative that was coming out about George Papadopoulos, just how young he was. He graduated from college in 2009. He had some experience at a think tank for several years. And then he finds himself on the Dr. Ben Carson campaign. When that campaign winds down, he goes over to the Trump campaign, and he stayed there, according to his LinkedIn page, until January. And then, as we learned just yesterday, it was in January that he first was asked to speak with FBI agents.
And we heard the White House press secretary there really downplaying Papadopoulos' role in the campaign, calling him a volunteer. Is that accurate?
You know, whether he was paid or not, we don't know, or I don't know. Maybe he was technically a volunteer, but that was certainly downplaying his role. There's this photo of him that has certainly resurfaced this week, showing him literally with a seat at the table with President Trump back when Trump was a candidate. So he was seated at the table. He was out representing himself as a member of the campaign, perhaps an official of the campaign, to these people who he thought had Kremlin connections. And he was certainly in touch with campaign leadership.
And do we know why the FBI got drawn to George Papadopoulos in the first place? They started talking to him back in January. Is it because of emails?
I believe that is correct, that when emails were turned over from the campaign, they did come across those. That's my understanding. They spoke with him on January 27, which was a week after inauguration. And as we learned yesterday, he gave false information, misrepresented things, and then it was several months later that he would be arrested.
And safe to say that when a young, very young George Papadopoulos started working for the Trump campaign and getting in contact with Russians, probably never envisioned himself being the subject of conversations like this one and thousands like them across America.
Right. I think he thought he was doing a great thing. He apparently met this professor, according to the documents released yesterday, who had said that he had Kremlin connections. He said he'd introduce Papadopoulos to Putin's niece, as Papadopoulos wrote in one of his emails. He was new to the campaign. I think he was thought that this would make him an asset and very valuable to the campaign. Obviously, that has come crashing down because he then lied to the FBI about all of this.
And if he was young and new to politics, he's now found himself at the center of a Washington scandal. That's a place that's been familiar to other young political people in Washington before.
Yes, he is at the center. I'm seeing a lot of legal analysts talking about how the charges to which he has pleaded guilty yesterday compared to those involving Manafort and Rick Gates, that if the Manafort case kind of doesn't mention Trump, it actually doesn't mention Trump at all. This one is all about the Trump campaign, this Papadopoulos case.
Well, let's talk about those charges, the implications of the guilty plea. We're going to get right to it. Max Cutner with Newsweek. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
George Papadopoulos is the first person to publicly plead guilty to a crime in the Russia investigation. It was all laid out in that 14-page statement of offense where Papadopoulos admits to lying to the FBI about when he was in contact with Russians or potential Russian agents while still working for the Trump campaign. Amy Sabrin is a retired partner from the law firm Skadden Arps, where she's represented many public officials and executives in DOJ investigations. Amy, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Nice to be here.
What does it mean that George Papadopoulos has pled guilty and is reportedly cooperating? What kind of information might investigators be looking for from him?
They will be looking for who he spoke to about what his Russian contacts told him, and in particular, the fact that was stated in the court papers that he was told that the Russians had dirt on Hillary Clinton and had thousands of her emails. Who in the Trump campaign knew about that? What instructions he might have been given in response, other than what's reflected in the bare-bones statements in the documents that were filed in court. They might have put a wire on him, as people say. That's speculation at this point. Any number of topics that he's cooperating on and has to continue to cooperate on until he is sentenced, which will not be probably until after the conclusion of this investigation.
That is speculation that George Papadopoulos could have worn a wire in the meanwhile, but is it crazy speculation? Is that a real-world scenario?
That's a real-world scenario, and as both his guilty plea and the Manafort indictment show, Mueller and his team are playing hardball, so yes, it's possible.
So it's fair to say then that this guilty plea in the big picture is really less about young, unknown George Papadopoulos and more about what he knew and who he talked to.
Yes. Exactly. And the greatest significance of his plea may be with regard to obstruction of justice allegations, because the question is, why did he lie at that interview? Did he talk to anybody before he was interviewed about what he was going to say and receive any instructions on how to respond? That would be obstruction of justice in that case. And did he report on his interview to anybody after the fact, which would all relate to obstruction of justice charges?
Well, let's talk about that timeline then and how it may fit with potential obstruction of justice or even collusion. Investigators first talked to Papadopoulos in January of this year. He was arrested back in July and didn't plead guilty until early October. That means he was probably talking to investigators for months, and it looked like nobody outside the investigative team knew about that. So what does that tell you about the potential timing of his initial lie, then his cooperation, and about Mueller's investigation?
Well, interestingly, his interview was on January 27th, 2017, shortly after Trump was sworn in as president. On January 24th, 2017, you'll remember Michael Flynn was interviewed by the FBI. On January 26th, Sally Yates, then acting attorney general, goes to the White House and informs White House counsel that Flynn was interviewed and that he had lied to Mike Pence about his contacts with Russians. Then the next day is when Papadopoulos is interviewed. That is also the day that President Trump called Comey at lunchtime, invited him to dinner, and then spoke to him at dinner about loyalty and whether he wanted to keep his job.
So does all that say then that Mueller may be using Papadopoulos as a window both into potential obstruction of justice charges, as you said, and we don't know about those yet, but also into the counterintelligence narrative, into possible collusion with Russian agents?
Yes, absolutely. The key allegation that he pled guilty to was lying about what his relationship was with the campaign at the time of a conversation when Russian operatives told him that they had dirt on Clinton and thousands of her emails, at a time, by the way, when that was not publicly known. It was before any of the emails began to be leaked. So, yes, obviously collusion is at the heart of this.
So, Amy, when we look at this week and how these indictments and George Papadopoulos's guilty plea were rolled out, is there a message here? Robert Mueller releases the plea agreement on the very same day as the 14-count indictments against Paul Manafort and Rick Gates. What's he saying by doing those things together?
Well, we can only speculate. And I just want to comment on the Manafort indictment. It's breathtaking in its own way. It doesn't touch on collusion directly, but it alleges that the Republican candidate for president of the United States chose a campaign manager who was laundering tens of millions of dollars he received for acting as an agent for a puppet government of Vladimir Putin, and that he did it while he was running Trump's campaign and that he lied about it to the FBI. What I speculate Mueller and his team were trying to send the message is, if you don't cooperate, you are going to get slammed with everything we can throw at you. And if you do cooperate, you will get a greatly reduced sentence and much leniency.
It seems to send the message to anyone watching, which is everyone, that we have someone who's cooperating. We have someone who's talking. Don't get caught up in it.
Well, that's true, too. And it sort of puts them on notice that they have a way to test the accuracy of what any witness may be telling them, if they are a witness who was in communication with George Papadopoulos. The other thing I just want to add about the fact that he's a cooperating witness, this cooperating witness may not know that much. I just want to make clear that the statement of offense does not in its face provide direct evidence that anyone else from the campaign colluded with the Russians. There's nothing in that document that's inconsistent with the White House claim that Papadopoulos' role was insignificant and that he was only tangentially related to the campaign. The document significantly does not state that he specifically made campaign officials aware that his Russian contacts said they had dirt and that they had Clinton-related emails. Now, this could be because the special counsel didn't want to reveal the evidence he has, or it could be because he does not have that evidence, but the document is silent on that point. And then the document also provides some exculpatory evidence that campaign officials wanted to communicate to Papadopoulos that there would be no meetings with the Russians, and they pushed back on that.
And it's certainly fair to say that George Papadopoulos is not the last person that Robert Mueller and his prosecutors will be talking to about potential collusion or potential obstruction of justice. Amy Sabrin, retired partner at Skadden Arps, thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.